Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom. This is what I call freedom.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All righty. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for the applause, okay, and all of that good stuff. Okay, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is a bright, sunny, beautiful-looking day. It's cold. It looks deceiving, okay? I mean, we were out there, so it's cold. I mean, it was 90 degrees yesterday, and now it's sudden. All of a sudden, it's 60. That's how it drops. It's 60 or below. Remember, I'm near the lake, so it's always cooler or colder by the lake. But anyway, it's a great day. It's a beautiful looking day. It's Monday. In case you're podcasting this show for later, it's Monday, June 2017. And the year is going by so fast. We're already into 6 months It's great because we're still here. We are still here, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest today is, at least the marquee says, Michael Grandinetti. Okay, it's scheduled. A lot of people are scheduled, but you know, sometimes things happen. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. What are we having today? Going to talk about today? I wanted to say something about all of those store closings. I mean, we are just being rippled with store closings. You know, I mean, Sears, Kmart, I think they're the same. I think there's some affiliation there. But anyway, you got JCPenney. You got Staples. You've got, I don't know, I haven't heard anything about Home Depot, but a lot of these major, major retailers are shutting their doors. I mean, it's a sad sight to see, and it's even sadder to talk about. Shoppers are fewer. A lot of people they're not going into the stores. They're not shopping. So landlords are adopting, and the developers aren't building stores. You know, and a lot of the stores are just closing. The malls are like ghost towns. You remember? I mean, we used to go to malls, and some of the malls that we have gone to in the past, I mean, they were like wall-to-wall people, wall-to-wall shoppers. Now you go to a mall, you hardly see anyone. And that's any mall around America, any mall. The dark clouds are blowing into the local shopping center market. There comes a silver lining for landlords. They are scared away. They scared away developers. You know what I'm saying? It's just retailers like Sports Authority, H.A. Gregg, Payless Shoe. Yeah, Payless Shoes. They're upended. Of course, you know, Radio Shack. It's just almost too many retailers out there, well-known brand names, are shuttering their doors. You know, why is this happening? I think I just alluded to it. It's happening because you are not going into the stores. You are buying what you buy online. Of course, the elephant in the room, folks, is Amazon. You know, but Amazon is branching out. They are building real live stores around the country. I mean, there's one in Chicago, you know, I have yet to visit, but there are ones, and they are flourishing. Amazon, the stores are flourishing, but the other retailers are packing up their bags, and they're closing their doors because of, I don't understand it, because a lot of these retailers that are closing their doors, all they have to do is just find them a presence online. Find a presence online. And a lot of these retailers, they do have a presence online, but people aren't shopping from those particular outlets online. They're going to Amazon. They're going to Walmart. Walmart and Amazon, I think, are at this moment the two biggest online sellers in America, if not the world, okay? And it's sad that a lot of us are not shopping. I can blame myself, for instance. I can blame myself. I mean, when I shop online. I get everything online. I take a chance on putting my debit or credit card into the computer, and I shop online. And my packages, whatever I'm shopping for, it comes right to my door. I don't have to step out of the house, you know, and that's bad, because that spills. And a lot of not only the big box stores are closing their doors, but the smaller outlets too are closing. You got, you know, small stores within your community, the hardware, the convenience store, you know, the auto shop or something, the pizza. No, skip pizza, because I think pizza is going to be around forever, because those are probably the only stores that are flourishing, people who sell pizza. I got a pizza joint right across the street from my studio here, and it's flourishing. They must be making $1 million a day, you know. But it's sad to see some of these iconic retailers close for good. Radio Shack. I mean, hey, wow. I mean, this Radio Shack was just about my second home. I used to go there all the time to for this and that, that and this, you know, because I considered myself to be a sort of guy who fixes and connects electronics and stuff like that. So that was good for that. But I was sad to see in my community Radio Shack go. I was very, very sad. I had even gotten to know some of the people who work at the store. We were friends. But, you know, I mean, next thing you know, they were shutting their doors, closing down. I mean, Radio Shack was closing, you know, a lot of stores within America and around the globe. And it's just sad because people, you know, found a better way to shop. And that's shopping online, and that's shopping at particular outlets like Amazon and Walmart. Whereas you don't have to, I mean, you can, when you're shopping online, it's, I mean, you can do your shopping 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting at your computer or your phone in your pajamas or in your birthday suit. You know, you don't have to, you can, you know, I mean, it's technology. It's the way the world is. It's the way what's happening now. But I mean, if you like to shop like I do, and I love to shop, I've always loved to shop since I was a kid. I just love to buy stuff. It was, the problem was when I was little, I didn't have no money to buy anything. But I do a lot of my shopping, if I can, online. The only thing I don't do online that we don't do online, we don't, you know, do groceries online. Some people do, but I don't do that. We don't do groceries online. I'd rather go out and see what the hell I'm getting before you send it to my house, you know. You can almost say the same thing for packages and stuff like that. But I trust packages more than I would someone bringing me my groceries because, you know, I want to be there to, you know, make sure I'm getting the right thing going into that shopping cart. But anyway, it's sad that some of these retailers are closing, and a lot of people are sad too, you know, that a lot of these places are closing. I mean, I can, you know, walk down the street here of where my studio is, and I can turn the corner and I can see a lot of places that are empty that once used to be flourishing with customers. They're empty. And nobody has to tell me what's going on. I know what's going on. Nobody's buying. And in this day and age, and in this day and age of uncertainty, majority of Americans are holding on to their cash. If they have any, if they have any to hold on to, if they have any to save, they're holding on to their money. I mean, there was a time when Americans would throw away their computers, their televisions, throw them out, and just go buy new and more updated equipment, smart TVs and all that kind of thing, laptops, computers, desktops, monitors. I mean, people used to flourish in those things. I mean, I would go out in the back and I would see all of these televisions and computers and laptops thrown in the garbage. But that's not happening anymore because people are holding on to their computers. They're holding on to their monitors. They're holding on to their television sets. They're holding on to whatever they have that's still working, and in some cases where they can still get their work done, no matter how old it is. You know, I'm still working. I'm still doing everything possible on Windows 7. I gave up Windows 10. I didn't like it. I just didn't like it. It had too many bugs in it for me. So I went back to doing Windows 7. I got a couple of computers here with Windows Vista, and I got one with Windows XP. So I'm holding on to my older computers and older models and older, what do you call it? I can't think of it right now. But anyway, people are doing it. People are holding on to their equipment, their things longer. Why not? If it's doing the job for you, if your computer, if you're still using XP, and a lot of people are, I think that's probably Microsoft's best system, XP. Windows 10, I think there are some bugs in it, but they may have cleared out those bugs by now. But anyway, at the beginning, I went back to Windows 8. Then I said, no, the hell with it. Let me go to Windows 7. And then, you know, I just stuck with my XP and my Windows Vista because they work just as fine. It's just that Microsoft is not, you know, claiming that they're not going to do anything for those two operating systems. You know, so I'm holding on to my equipment. I'm not throwing anything out. I don't care if it's 10, 20, or 30 years old. If it still works and it gets the job done, it will be here in my studio, saving lots and lots of money. Why do I have to go out and get new equipment when the new equipment will probably break a lot faster and I have more problems with the newer system because I have to learn other things when I can just, you know, use my old stuff that I know backwards, you know? So, and that's what a lot of people are doing. They're holding on to the television sets, even the big, bonky, and heavy ones. They're holding on to everything. They're not throwing much out anymore. They're holding on to their microwave ovens. I used to see a lot of microwave ovens tossed in the dumpster, you know? People are holding on to these things because we're living in a world of totally, totally uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. We've got Donald Trump. We don't know what's going to happen. People are saving money. But, you know, I've been hearing that a lot of people, most people in the United States don't have any money saved. They're just working from. Oh, boy, do I know about that. And they don't have anything saved. If they have anything saved, it's less than $1,000 in the bank. But they're doing their best. They're doing their damnness. And people are holding on to their equipment. Even people are holding on to their phones. They're not going out buying the latest Apple iPhone for $300 or $400, $500 or something like that. And all you're going to get is a bunch of bugs. You know, a bunch of mal equipment or something like that. It's just people are just holding on to their stuff longer. And they're saving more. They're not spending as much. And that's another reason to why a lot of these stores around the country are closing their doors. Closing their doors. And that's sad. Even though, you know, I remember going to a Sears store around in the community here. And it was a couple of years ago. And I walked in there and I was the only person in there. You know, I had, you know, gotten off work. I'd gotten paid, got my check, and I wanted to go to Sears and probably buy a couple of shirts and stuff like that. And so I walked into the store and I was the only one there. It was just me and the clerk in that big ass store. And I knew something was wrong then. And, It's bad. It's Sears was a beautiful store, and they had all kinds of equipment. And I adored the gym equipment there. I wanted that, and they were just marking everything down. I mean, they had a sale every day because nobody was coming into the store. Everybody's online. So if you're wondering why your store in your area may be closing, it's because people are not going to shop there anymore. They're doing their shopping online. They don't mind paying the high shipping costs or the extra tax that they're going to have to pay online. And that's one of the things I hate about the internet. That's one of the things that has gone bad with the internet. You used to did not have to pay high shipping costs for your merchandise. You used to, a lot of us remember, you didn't have to pay any tax. But now, you buy anything online, you, no matter what it is, you're going to have to pay a tax. If it's a service, you're going to have to pay a tax. A product, you're going to have to pay a tax, which is unfair. And then on top of that tax, you're going to have to pay high shipping costs. You know, so if you want to, if you don't want to pay shipping and high extra I can't even say it. If you don't want to pay shipping costs and extra high taxes, then you probably would be better off going into the store yourself. Another thing about shipping, I mean, if you physically walk into a store and buy what you want, you get it right away. When you're buying online, you may have to wait 2 or 3 days, a week, or maybe 2 weeks before you get what you want. So there's always benefits of going into a store and physically buying something instead of just, you know, buying it online. But I have to say, buying online has been really, really convenient if you have the means to do so. But it's still sad that a lot of these stores are closing. They can't stay open. They cannot stay open. They, like anybody else, need to make a profit. You have to make a profit. I mean, you just cannot have a lot of overhead. You must make a profit. And if they're not making a profit, they have to close. Because if you're in a business, you got a business like Kmart or Sears or JCPenney, you're in the business of making money. Because if you're not making money, you're losing money. And that is not going to stand for too long. You're not going to be doing that for too long. I mean, because you got a lot of businesses right now that they're losing, but they're still open. They're losing money. They're not making any money. People are not coming in to buy. Just the other day, I was looking for some guitar strings for my guitar, and I walked into this music store. And usually this music store is busting out at the seams with musicians who come to buy guitars, amps, chords, picks, guitars, saxophones, you name it, harmonicas. I mean, this actually is still open. This is a big, big music store on the north side. And I go there all the time for my equipment. But now I found out that I can get the same equipment or whatever I want online. It's cheaper. I'll deal with the shipping. I'll deal with the taxes. But then, you know, I can order it online. But when I walked into this music store, I'm not going to call its name, but when I walked into the music store, it was empty. And it was one lone clerk there. And all I did was buy a few picks and some guitar strings. That was all I bought. He was pissed off at me because I didn't buy more. You know, the store was dark. It was, and I'm pretty sure it's going to close because people are not going. I mean, whatever you can buy out in the street, physically walking into any store, you can do it online. I'm not advocating everybody go jump online and buy something. I'm just saying that it's more, for some people, it's more convenient to buy online than it is to physically walk into a store. But, you know, you got people saying, and I'm not the only one. People are saying, why is my store closing? It's a beautiful store. Why are the small stores closing? Why is everything closing up? And the answer is you are not making much money there. You're not patronizing the store. And they know it. But I was shopping there. Yeah, you were shopping there, but it wasn't enough people coming through there, you know. So and a lot of stores have these liquidation sales, you know, we're going out of business kinds of sales. And it's sad because it kind of, you know, gives gloom to the neighborhood. You know, it brings the market value down in the neighborhood when the store up and closes and leaves. you know. But there's a lot of stores that remain open. I think, as I was alluding to, I think most of the grocery stores and the supermarkets, they are remaining open because people, as I've just said, they want to go out. You can have your groceries delivered online. Of course, you know that. But a lot of us, you know, no way is that going to happen, you know. you want to go out there and make sure you're getting what you're getting in terms of food. You know what I'm saying? All right. Listen, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And we've been talking about store closings around America and around your neighborhood, in your area, in your community. You know, it's happening. It's affecting everybody. It's happening and it's affecting everybody. And there is nothing you can do about it. You might want to say, well, I'm going to try to stop my store from closing or stop the stores from leaving because I'm going to start shopping there. People have done that. They have done that, but that's to no avail. I think a lot of people have done that when they heard that JCPenney was closing. So they decided to go and start shopping there. And because of that, I believe JCPenney stayed open a month or two longer because of that. But inevitably, they were closing. They were closing. It was nothing going to stop them from closing. I mean, 5 or 10 people shopping, coming to shop, that's not a big deal or a big crowd to them. That's not going to satisfy their bottom line, you know. And it's sad. It's sad in a country like this. I mean, this is where I believe politicians should probably come in and play a role in trying to keep these retailers, these fantastic and great retailers in America. But the politicians, they don't give a damn. You know, they don't give a shit if the stores are closing. You know, that's their problem. They can't. But you know what? These stores, if they want to stay open, they have to find their place, just like Amazon and Walmart. You have to find your place online. You have to kind of realize that if Amazon is doing it, then you find out how they are doing it, how they are being successful every single day. Then you have to look at what Amazon is doing and kind of imitate their process of being successful. That's the way I see it, you know, if you want to keep your doors open. But a lot of these stores that are closing, a lot of these big box stores that are closing, there is something that they're not doing right, something that they were caught off guard with. And they're finding themselves now having to close up shop and leave your community, leave the neighborhood, you know, just wrap everything up. They're not making a profit. It's sad to see. It is very sad to see these stores, these wonderful stores that we grew up with shopping, going to shop in the malls. It's sad to see them go and to close. But hey, wow, 17, and this is the climate that we're living in. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're gonna be right back, folks. We're going to do this. If we can find it, we'll be right back. Give me about a minute, all right? Okay, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. It's a beautiful day, folks. I hope it's beautiful where you are. It is gorgeous in the city of Chicago, and it's cold out there, actually, but it looks good. It looks great. I'm on the inside. That's why it looks and feels great, because I'm looking out on the street. I have this great big old mirror in front of me, a window in front of me, and I can see what's going on. All right, here we go. Okay, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, whenever you feel like you want to pick up the phone and act like you're there, you can always call me back. 347-857-1762. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. One more time. All righty. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call. All righty. What are we into? I just got through talking about store closings, and it's happening, folks. It's a shame, but it's happening. All right, let's see what. Okay. Anyway, once again, my guest is supposed to be Michael Grandinetti on the George Wilder Jr. Show. If it happens, it happens. You know, this show still must go on and on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, we were talking this morning about how Trump is blasting. This is the second time he is talking about insulting the London mayor for these terrorist attacks that have taken place. I'm pretty sure you've heard about it. And Trump blasts London mayor again. I'm on CNN. And this guy is just, I mean, he's, I don't, I, Trump sometimes leaves me speechless, folks. This guy, Trump lashes out at London mayor again. And he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's talking about. London can handle their problems. They don't need Donald Trump's interference because he's not supporting anybody. No one. Okay. Trump criticizes London mayor for the second time since Saturday's attack. How can you criticize somebody for a terrorist attack? Trump represents the United States. At least he represents certain portions of the United States. He doesn't represent everybody, you know, because a lot of people are saying he's not my president. But one of the things I love, what the London mayor, his response to Trump was the finger. U.S. President Donald Trump renews his criticism of London's mayor, Sekou Khan, on Monday, a day after attacking his handling of the weekend terror. Now, how can Trump attack someone when he really doesn't know what the hell is going on? He's just looking at it from afar. But wow. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jordan, it's Michael Grandinetti, magician from California. I just wanted to call you and say thank you so much for your help promoting our upcoming show.
No problem about that, man. I know you called before, and there probably was some sort of difficulty or something. But anyway, author Michael Grandinetti on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hey, I don't mind promoting anybody, man, as long as it's beneficial to my listening guest. Go right ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a bio and what are you up to?
Well, first of all, I guess you're in Chicago?
Yeah, man. Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles, but Chicago is one of my favorite cities. We performed there 3 times last year.
Wow.
With our touring show, and I love it. I love it there. And you're right. It is cold there sometimes, but still a great city.
But you know what? It was beautiful yesterday. We had the 90s yesterday, but now it's pretty nippy. It's kind of chilly because we were out there. I was just out there about 30 minutes ago, and it's kind of chilly. I'm in my studio. I'm looking, but you know what? It looks great. It's sunny. It's beautiful, but it can be deceiving a little bit.
Well, I will do some magic and send you some of this LA weather. It's about 90 here today, so I'll send that over to you. So, hey, I just want to say, like I said, thank you for your time today. I'd love to tell your listeners a bit about our show. We're heading into the fourth season of Masters of Illusion on the CW. It starts June 30th, which is a Friday night, 8 o'clock. And the show runs for 13 weeks. And basically, it's a show where every week you tune in and you see six or eight different magicians performing. And so, and it's the only show of its kind like that on TV. So yeah, so it is a great show for the whole family. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I can see that you're going to try to mystify America.
I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try. Well, you know what? This is our fourth year of the show. So the goal is we got to top ourselves every year. You know, when you keep doing something, you don't want to keep doing the same thing. You got to get, you know, for me, it's important to try and get better and better and better with it. So this year we have some of my very favorite things coming up. So yeah, I'm definitely hoping to spread some amazement out there.
Yeah. You sound great. So how did you get into this? How did you get involved in this? I mean, was it just your love of just magic or just fantasy? How did you get involved in this, all of this?
In magic or in the TV show?
TV show. Let's put it the TV show.
Well, the TV show, it's interesting. So I'm based in LA, in Los Angeles, although our touring show, we travel all over the place. That's how we got to Chicago last year.
Okay.
But because I'm based here in LA and we do quite a bit of work consulting for TV shows and we do a lot of performing out here, the producers of the show, when they were putting it together, they were looking for people who, have up and running illusion shows and who have, and like I said, we've been doing this for, not to date myself, but we've been doing this for well over 20 years. So the producers called and they meant that told me what the show was going to be about. And they told me how it was going to basically be a good family show. And I said, count me in. You know, I think the more exposure the magic gets out there, the better. So it's been great. The show is now in 100 countries around the world. So it's doing pretty well.
Wow, that's great. And how do people, this is probably a dumb question, but how do people react to what you're doing?
Well, you know what? They react. So let me say this. The fun part of my job is watching people react, because people react to magic differently than they react to anything else. You know, because you get amazed. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm Ben George. You went around. You know, you've gone through your day today. Very, very few things have amazed you. It's just one of those things in life. We don't get amazed too much. Magic gives people that sense of amazement. So to watch people be amazed, it's the greatest. It's the best. You know, it's the reason why I get up every morning and do my job.
Yeah. They kind of motivate you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what better job is there than to, make people happy by doing what you do?
Yeah, I totally agree. So you're out there to make people happy.
Yeah, that is the goal, keep them amazed and keep them happy. And that is certainly my job.
you sound like you enjoy what you're doing, and that's amazing. Making people feel good, making people happy, taking people away from reality for a while, and just have them sit there, stand there in front of you and your crowd, and you just totally take them away. You amaze them, and they feel good about it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I've seen people come to our show, on a Friday night after a long work week, and they're stressed and they're tired, and you get to watch that kind of stress get lifted off of people, and they just kind of let go, and they feel like a kid again, and it makes them, like I said, it makes them happy. So, yeah, it's a fun job to have. I would not trade it.
You sound like it's a great job. It's a great job. So, what do you want people to take from this? What do you want people to take from what you're talking about? How would people actually get to one of your shows if they wanted to come see you? They never saw you before. They want to come see you. They heard you on the show. They want to get in touch with you. They want to see what it's all about. You sound great. How would they do that?
Absolutely. So, well, the best way to get in touch with me is through social media and my website. I mean, my website is michaelgranzanetti.com. My social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's all under Michael Granzanetti. And I always welcome people to connect. And then my website, you know, it has a little section where you could send a message if people have questions. And that's michaelgrandinetti.com. And, you know, the biggest thing is I hope people have a chance to see our show this summer and that they enjoy it. And like I said, once our tour starts in midsummer, if anybody sees a magician with a really long Italian last name coming to town, it's probably me.
Yeah.
So hopefully they come and see us. Not too many Grandinettis out there with a touring magic show. So hopefully they'll they'll see us and you know, have a chance to come and see our show.
Yeah, but when I saw your name, Michael Grandinetti, I'm saying, wow, great, great name. It's a beautiful, it's a great sounding name. So, you know, I mean, that could be the show itself, Grandinetti, you know, that could be it.
Well, thank you.
No problem. So do you think you're going to be back in Chicago or is that just in the rearview mirror?
I'd love to come back to Chicago. Nobody ever asked to twist my arm to come back there. It is a fantastic city. You know, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and Chicago reminds me of a very much like Pittsburgh. I mean, people there were great. It was just a city with so much, you know, so much stuff in it, so much culture, so many interesting things to do. We are mapping out our schedule as we speak, and hopefully we'll be back in Chicago in the very near future. You have to come and see us if we get out there.
You bet, man. Because when I was a kid, I used to love magic. I used to try to do a little bit of magic myself, but it wasn't in the cards, kind of speak. But, you know, I love magic. I love those kind of shows. I love to be amazed and mystified. I'm pretty sure like so many other people who have seen your shows. And I wish you guys all the luck in the world. And if you're coming back to Chicago, if you should ever, hook me up. Let me know so I can try to, you know, get some people out there and we can enjoy it.
Well, you have a deal. You will be among the first to know when we have Chicago on our schedule. And thank you again for your time. It's great talking with you, and I really appreciate your support of our show.
No problem, man. Thanks for being on the show. Bye-bye, and good luck. All right, that was Michael Grandinetti on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
It's been several weeks since Donald Trump fired FBI Director James Comey, and we still actually don't have a official permanent director of the FBI today. The problem with lack of staffing stretches far beyond the FBI. The entire Department of Justice right now is understaffed because nobody wants to work for Donald Trump. White House staffing is lower than it should be because they're having trouble filling these positions because nobody wants to work for Donald Trump. According to an article in The Independent, a senior Republican official has said that the reason they're unable to fill all of these positions that they still need to be filled, positions that should have been filled back in January, is because people think Donald Trump is crazy. That's what The Independent quoted this anonymous senior Republican official as saying. People think Donald Trump is crazy. And because of that, they're not attracting the kind of talent, the kind of experience that they need to run a White House. But it goes far beyond people just saying Donald Trump is crazy. I don't necessarily buy that excuse. The truth is nobody wants to work within this administration because it's only a matter of time before all of these scandals really catch up with Donald Trump and he gets ousted from office. Nobody wants to be associated with that. And even if they don't get him impeached, nobody wants to be associated with an administration that's been in office for 5 months, actually less than 5 months, that's under investigation after investigation after investigation. Every day that passes now, someone else is getting roped in to these investigations, becoming a new person of interest. You know, the web is spreading out and it's catching more and more of the Trump administration flies at this point. And Donald Trump is dangerously close to falling into that web himself. His son-in-law is in it at this point. It's only a matter of time before Trump himself goes in there. So why would anyone in their right mind want to go work for this administration that may not last through the end of summer? Certainly, probably won't last through the end of the year, depending on what kind of information we get out of this. I mean, we find out this morning that Jeff Sessions likely had a third meeting with Russian officials that he did not disclose, and he now could be on his way towards impeachment. So we could be losing our attorney general. So would you want to go work for these people? Would you want to have to be in charge of covering things up, of lying to the press like Sean Spicer or Kellyanne Conway? Absolutely not. There are no benefits from working within the Trump administration at this point, and that's why they're suffering from a very severe lack of staff. But when you are lacking these many people, unfortunately, it's bad for the country because you're not able to properly get things done. Not that we want Donald Trump to accomplish his agenda, but we do need the White House and our government agencies to actually be able to function. And at this point, they're not, again, because nobody wants to be associated with Donald Trump.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I want to thank my guest, Michael Grandinetti, for being on the show. He's an actor, I'm assuming an actor, musician, not musician, but one of those guys that do magic and mystifies you and everything. I would love to go see a magic show. I would love to go see a magic show, and I hope he does keep in touch with me to let me know whenever they're back in Chicago or Illinois, and you know, hey, maybe I can grab a few people and go on down and enjoy a good magic show. And because I used to love magic when I was small. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, I used to love doing it. I thought it was great, but I never thought of myself as becoming a magician or anything. But It's a part of making the world a better place, folks. We got to make the world a better place. Okay, use your head and don't let your mouth get ahead of your head. Okay, one of those sayings I try to have each and every day that I'm on the air. And always be nice to one another. And there's too many people being mean and rude and nasty to each other. Be nice to one another. It's so easy. It is so easy to be nice to one another. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. I'm glad to be back on the radio after a three-day hiatus. You know, I need my rest too. So, because I'm doing some writing. I'm doing some songs and stuff like that. Writing music also. Yeah, writing music and you know. I've always been a musician and I love the thought of making music and especially good music, music that people enjoy. I've been making music all of my life. You know, I think when I was 16, 17, I had my first band and I played the bass guitar and it was great. I used to love to give those backyard parties and, you know, we'd be playing at those backyard parties and the girls would come back there and they would, you know, listen and stand up there and listen and everything. I was young. I don't think I had girls on my mind too much then. It was about making music and I enjoyed that people would come from all around and listen to our music. And that was always an enjoyment, just like my guest got through saying that he enjoyed seeing people being amazed, you know, when they're watching him perform. And that's the same with me. I mean, when we were performing, and this was like a billion years ago, it was magical. And music has always stayed with me. Since I was, 9 or 10 years old, music, maybe earlier than that, but music has always stayed with me. And I always, as you can probably tell by some of the music on the show, but there's nothing like creating your own music, creating your own voice, creating your own stamp on your music instead of always doing someone else's music, or as we called it back then, we called them cover songs. And, It was just great. I don't know how I got off on talking about me and music, but you know, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we are still out to make the world a better place, even though it seems useless sometimes. I'm gonna go with you on that one. 347-857-1762. Once again, I want to thank my guest Michael Grandinetti on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I don't know how many people have heard about Bill Maher using the N-word. A lot of people are now trying to get him fired from his job. Yeah, he hosts that show, the HBO show on cable. Bill Maher, The Real Time with Bill Maher, he used the N-word on his show. The N-word. And there's been a lot of controversy on that. He apologized. Okay. He apologized, you know, but still people are after his head. They want him off the show. They want him to be fired, which I think is now Bill Maher. Now I don't know him personally, but I have been watching his show. I've followed him. I enjoy his show. I think he's funny. I think he's spot on. The guy never meant any harm when he used it. I mean, if you saw the clip, the video of where he used it, you can tell that he didn't mean it to be racist. He didn't intend it to be controversial. He didn't intend it to go viral. Now, I am still a Bill Maher fan, and I'm African American. I am still a Bill Maher fan, and I always will be a Bill Maher fan because he is no more racist than, I don't know, the man in the moon, maybe. Bill Maher is not a racist. Yeah, he probably shouldn't have used the word. Knowing Bill Maher, it just came out of his mouth. It's just something. He's a comedian, okay? All right, comedians say and do things just as this Kathy Griffin has done. And I know everybody has heard about that. If you haven't heard about Kathy Griffin holding up a severed head of Donald Trump with blood smeared all over his face, then you've been living under a rock. And now they are trying to fend down because she held up, it's a photograph, she held up a severed head, a cut off head of Donald Trump and posted it around the internet. And now Trump and the Republicans are trying to ruin her life because she held up a severed head of Donald Trump. Now, if Kathy Griffin, this comedian, if she had held up a cut off severed head of Obama or Hillary, the Republicans probably would have made her a senator or a representative. Or mostly she'd be able to talk. She would have been able to talk at their national convention. Now, she's a comedian. Comedians do things. Sometimes they go too far. But that is no way to ruin somebody's life. That is no way to get someone fired. Yeah, I think what Kathy Griffin did was a little bit over the top. But Trump himself, this nut is over the top, always over the top. There isn't a day that goes by that there isn't some big ass controversy coming out of the White House involving Donald Trump. Right now, Donald Trump is criticizing the mayor of London for his reaction or tactics to the London attacks, if I'm saying it correctly. Trump has no business criticizing anybody. He's the most embarrassing piece of manure on the faith of the earth. I can't talk today for some reason. Anyway, he should not be criticizing anybody. He's one big ass embarrassment to this country, to America. And 3/4 of Americans are saying that. But he doesn't give a damn. Trump doesn't care if you like him, if you don't like him. He's like, get out of my way. He gives you the finger. F you, get out of my way. This is what this guy's like. Even some of the Republicans and the Democrats are calling him one piece of S-H-I-T, a piece of S-H-I-T. And he knows it. He doesn't care. I'm president. Look at me. I'm president, everybody. I'm president. I'm Donald Trump. I'm the president. I'm president. That's what he tells himself every day. I'm the president. Do what I say. Don't question me. Do everything I say. Kiss my ass when I want you to kiss my ass. That's Donald Trump. He wants everybody around him to be loyal to him, treat him like a damn king, like he's some sort of emperor, when he doesn't know the first thing about governing. He doesn't know the first thing about what he's doing. He embarrasses us when he goes over the seas to talk to all the leaders. They can't stand him. The London mayor can't stand him. Some of those folks in those Muslim countries, I can't talk today, they can't stand him. And yet he's going to try and tell me how to live my life. And I didn't vote for him. I mean, there are so many running petitions online against Trump. It's pathetic. He's probably one of the people in the United States with the most lawsuits up his ass. There are so many running petitions online against this guy. There are so many groups and and people saying that this guy is not my president. The only people who are saying something nice about Trump or to that effect are people in his circle. Kellyanne Conway, Sean Spicer, these people go out and lie for him every day. Then you got the other folks in his inner circle who he demands go out and defend him, you know, or be fired, you know. So, and the Russian investigation is still going on. It's still going on, and it's going to continue to go on. I don't know if there's going to be any ramifications or an impeachment of Trump, because that would have to be up to the House of Representatives and Congress, and most of them are Republicans. Most of them are kissing Trump's butt like he wants them to. You know, because if this would have been Hillary or Obama with the same kind of trash that Trump is carrying around, they would have been impeached, thrown out of Washington on a rail. But the Republicans, I don't know, they are steadfast. They keep in Trump. But one day they're going to regret that, because Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's doing some stupid things now, but down the line, he's going to do something that's major, and the Republicans are going to regret that they didn't get his ass out of office a lot sooner. Donald Trump is a time bomb. He's a time bomb. He's going to screw up even worse. The Republicans, they have to do something, and they have to do something now instead of waiting until it's too late, until he explodes and cause really detriment to the United States and America, if not the world. They're going to regret it. Donald Trump's approval rating, from the last time I looked at them, it was at 27%. And a lot of us thought that was too damn high. But that low poll number tells you that the Republicans in Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Republicans in the Senate, in Congress, they are in trouble. If Trump goes into this midterm, November 2018, with a low approval rating of 27% or a bit higher, maybe 30% or 45%, look out. Congress, the House of Representatives, is going to become controlled by Democrats. The electric of the United States are going to clean house of the thug Republicans. A lot of these Republicans, they don't want to be caught at their town halls. Why? Because they are afraid of their constituency, the people who put their butts in office. They're running like cowards from their town halls because they're so above it all, and they don't want to be embarrassed or seen getting their asses chewed out by their own voters over Donald Trump and health care and the budget. And that's another thing. I don't see how Donald Trump can even govern and get anything done. The guy's under 4 or 5 investigations, and he's constantly saying stuff that's stupid and embarrassing us around the world with his crazy talk. I mean, one of the things I don't think I could ever be is work for Donald Trump. No way. If someone offered me a job to work for Donald Trump, hey, I said no. I would turn it down in a heartbeat. And I think that's the reason why a lot of the cabinet posts and a lot of the vacancies in his administration are going vacant because nobody wants to work for this guy. Would you want to work for Donald Trump? Working for Donald Trump means one thing, that you're going to have to kiss his ass. That's what it's going to mean. And it doesn't mean you can be the best employer, the best employee in the world to Donald Trump. But if you don't kiss his ass, he's going to fire you. You could be the dumbest thing in the world, but if you kiss his ass, you got a job. You can be the smartest, the most intelligent, the most knowledgeable. But if you don't kiss his ass, he's going to fire you. Those are the reasons why a lot of people do not want to work for Donald Trump. And a lot of people who are in his administration, they are quitting. They're quitting and saying, I don't want to work for this guy. There's too many investigations going on. I mean, why would anybody want to work for Donald Trump? They may be, when they could be caught up in a lot of these investigations, they might wind up going to jail or being impeached. They don't want no part of that. Nobody would want to work for somebody who's under investigation, four or five investigations. That's crazy. They'll start questioning you. You'll be brought into the interrogation room, finding out what are your ties to Russia. So this guy is a totally, totally embarrassment to the United States. And for those people out there who say, well, George, you're crazy. That's not true. Well, then, you know, then I can say you got your view, I got mine. And I'm on the side of millions and millions and millions of people who think the same thing. For those who think that Donald Trump is not crazy and that he's the best thing for America, you are in the minority. Believe me, there's just a small segment of you people, supporters. And there is no doubt about it. A lot of Donald Trump supporters have said that they wish they had not voted for him. This is true. This is real. Even though this has probably gotten back to Donald Trump and his minions in the White House, Donald Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care if we like him or don't like him. He doesn't care what we think. Donald Trump, he telling himself and his ass kissers around him, I'm the president. I'm president. What I say goes. No courts, no nothing can stop me. I want this. I want that. Or get out. That's Donald Trump. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. We have elected an idiot. For all the insanity and the stunning self-absorption and the bullying and the delusional view of America that would embarrass a high school dropout watching cartoons while strung out on meth. The much more existential threat from the Swiss cheese personality of Donald John Trump roared to the forefront over this weekend past. And that existential threat is simply this.
Sick and the poor to the top 1%. It follows in the footsteps of the Trump-Ryan health care bill, which gives huge tax breaks to the wealthiest few while throwing 24 million Americans off of their health insurance and dramatically raising premiums for older workers. This is a budget which says that if you are the richest family in America, the Walton family, you can get up to a $53 billion tax break through the repeal of the estate tax. $53 billion tax break. But at the same time, it says that if you are a lower income senior citizen, you will not be able to get the one nutritious meal a day you now receive through the Meals on Wheels program or the help you desperately need if you are disabled. This is a budget that says that if you are the second wealthiest family in America, the Koch brothers family, a family that has contributed many hundreds of millions of dollars into the Republican Party, you may get up to a $34 billion tax break, but at the same time, if you are a working class student trying to figure out how you could possibly afford college, your dream of a college education will evaporate because of major cuts to student financial assistance programs. This is a budget which says that if you are a member of the Trump family, you may receive a tax break of up to $4 billion. But if you are a child of a working class family, you could well lose the health insurance you currently have through the Children's Health Insurance Program and massive cuts to Medicaid. At a time when we remain the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all, this budget makes a bad situation worse in terms of health care. In other words, this is a budget that provides massive tax breaks for billionaires and corporate CEOs and massive cuts to programs that tens of millions of struggling Americans depend upon. When Donald Trump campaigned for president, he told the American people that he would be a different type of Republican, that he would take on the political and economic establishment, that he would stand up for working people, that he understood the pain that families all across this country were experiencing.
He understands nothing.
Well, sadly, this budget exposes all of that verbiage for what it really was, just cheap
garbage
and dishonest campaign rhetoric that was meant to get votes. Nothing more than that.
Yep,
at a time
yep.
when the very rich are already getting much richer, while the middle class continues to shrink, this is a budget for the billionaire class, for Wall Street, for corporate CEOs, and for the wealthiest people in this country. This is a budget which will make it harder for our children to get a decent education, harder for working families to get the health care they desperately need, harder for families to put food on the table, harder to protect our environment, and harder for the elderly to live out their retirement years in dignity. This is a budget that is immoral and that will cause an enormous amount of pain for the most vulnerable people in our nation. This is a budget that will be rejected by the American people and must not see the light of day here in Congress. John Yarmuth is the ranking member of the Budget Committee in the House. John, thanks a lot for being with us.
Senator, the budget released today by the Trump administration is shockingly extreme and the antithesis of what the American people have said they want from their government. The president's budget.
Today, the president will release his full budget for fiscal year 2018. From all indications, the Trump budget will seek deep cuts to programs that help the middle class and working America while providing more handouts for the rich. It will cut to the bone programs that help the elderly, the poor, while adding money for an unnecessary, ineffective border wall that continues to have bipartisan opposition. And to make all of the math work, the Trump budget makes entirely unfounded assumptions about economic growth. In short, the Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and the working poor, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. The Trump budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. Of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. We expect the Trump budget will make deep cuts to the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control. Let me ask, how many people in America want to cut cancer research when it's done such good? Well, President Trump evidently does. It's his budget. They kneecap research that develops new cures, damaging our ability to contain or prevent the outbreak of disease. We're all living longer and healthier, in part because of this research. We want to stop it, cut it back, so we can give tax breaks to wealthy people who, God bless them, are doing great already. We expect the Trump budget will gash programs like Meals on Wheels. I even read in the paper this morning that the head of the Freedom Caucus said that even for him, some of these cuts were too great. The SNAP benefits, helping making sure no kid goes to bed hungry in America. This is America. We've always done this. And the Children's Health Insurance Program, cruelly ripping away the lifelines from Americans who need the most, the children, the working poor, the elderly. We expect the Trump budget will cut transportation funding, education funding, and programs that help students repay their student loan debt. One of the great problems in America, the debt on the backs, the burden of average kids getting out of college, middle-class kids. We're going to make it harder? What is going on here? What is going on in the White House with this kind of budget? Our college kids, when they get out, they need to be able to live real good lives and not have this burden of debt on their shoulders, which they're struggling under now, and we're going to make it worse. We also, this is amazing, but true, the Trump budget will break President Trump's promise to protect Social Security and Medicaid from cuts, both of them. He promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Medicare is not cut here, but Medicaid is, and Social Security is. On Social Security, the budget will cut Social Security disability benefits to many Americans who have earned them and paid for those benefits. And you can say, well, doesn't cut old age benefits for the elderly. Wait. If they get away with this, the elderly will be next on the chopping block, because the goal, it seems, of this budget is cut everything you can so you can give even more tax breaks to the wealthiest people. The Koch brothers type of thinking. It will also seek hundreds of billions of dollars, additional cuts in Medicaid. The budget cuts Medicaid on top of the cuts that were made in the House bill of Trump Care. And what'll that do? Medicaid has become a middle-class program. 60% of the people in nursing homes, Medicaid funds it. What are we going to tell a couple with three kids? Say they're 40 or 45. They have three kids. They're saving for college. They're struggling. But at least they know that mom or dad who needs help is in a nursing home. This budget passes, that family is going to have a terrible choice. Take hundreds of dollars a month out of their own budget and give it to pay for the nursing home, or find a place for mom and dad to live, maybe at home, but maybe there's no room in the house. Awful. That's what they're doing. And who else will it hurt? Opioid addiction. Much of our progress that we're trying to make on opioid addiction comes through Medicaid, because they give treatment. We need both law enforcement. I'm a tough law enforcement guy, you know that. But we also need treatment. I've had fathers cry in my arms because their sons, in this case it was both sons, were waiting online for treatment and died of an overdose. What a burden a parent has to live with. We should cut that and cut it to give more tax breaks to the rich.
They don't care.
It's in America turned upside down, this budget. And how about rural areas? You know, I represent New York State. It's known for its big city, New York City. We have other great cities upstate. But we also have the third largest rural population in America. So I'm very familiar with rural America. In many of my counties, in upstate New York, and this is true throughout rural counties, throughout America, the largest employer is the rural hospital. And that hospital is the only hospital around for miles and miles and miles, if God forbid you have a stroke and you got to be rushed there to get yourself better. Well, go talk to our rural hospitals. These rural hospitals, which are the beating heart of our local economy, employing hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people. Well, nearly one in three rural hospitals today are at risk of closure. It's more expensive to run a rural hospital. People in rural areas are entitled to the same health care, so that means buying all these fancy machines. In an urban area, those machines can run 20.
All right, that was Senator Chuck Schumer telling us the dire news of the Donald Trump's budget. It's dire, folks, and it's real. Donald Trump is cutting everything to give it to his rich friends and to construct a wall. Can you believe that? Hurting people to give money to his rich friends, tax cuts, and to build a wall. As I've alluded to, Donald Trump is under several investigations. He shouldn't be able to do anything until these investigations are done with. But the Republicans are letting him do this, do that, say this, and say that. And this guy is under a mountains of investigations and being scrutinized and trying to obstruct the investigations. There was talk that he was going to try and keep Comey from testifying. He's going to use executive privilege. How in the hell are you going to use executive privilege on someone who's not working for you? He's a free agent. He doesn't have a job. You can't stop somebody from talking who is not working for you. You fired him. He's free. He can say what he wants to say to anybody he wants to say it to. This is another way of Trump obstructing justice. And I've said this before. I would not want to be his lawyer. His lawyer must be pulling his hair out because of all of these dumb tweets that Trump is doing every morning. And someone once said that these tweets are policy. He's tweeting policy. And I agree. He's tweeting policy. And I know some of his Republican colleagues in Congress, I know they are just livid at the way this guy just tweets like a five-year-old child. And a lot of times he's tweeting his guilt. You don't have to get a confession out of Trump. He's going to give it to you. He runs his mouth. And he incriminates himself when he does it. And they got to be quaking in their boots because every time Trump tweets, and no matter how many, I'm pretty sure a lot of people in his inner circle have told him, stop tweeting. But no. Not Trump. Trump is going to do what Trump's going to do. Nobody's going to tell Trump what to do that he likes doing. And I think that's the problem. Trump loves to tweet. He loves to do it. I mean, hey, Twitter is a gold mine for Donald Trump and vice versa. I mean, because Donald Trump's tweeting. I mean, you got other politicians also tweeting, but hey, wow, they're not the president of the United States. He is. And even I'm not in politics or any sort, but people like me are saying, Donald, what are you doing? You're the president of the United States. Why are you tweeting like a five-year-old child? Oh, I am a five-year-old child. You know, so the beat goes on with Donald Trump, and it will continue to go on with Donald Trump until he's ousted, if he is ousted. The Republicans are aiding and abetting this guy. They are lying and flying for this guy. You know, he can't, as if he cannot do any wrong. I just, it tears me up inside every time I cut on the television set or go to the internet and you see some Republican trying to defend Trump, no matter what he's doing or what he's saying, that's obnoxious, that's incriminating, that shouldn't be, that sounds, you know, that he's guilty. You know, they're trying to defend him. He's a grown ass man. He's 71 years old. If he doesn't know how to talk, he will never learn how to talk. You know, they're always trying to, well, you took it out of context. He didn't mean it that way. He's a grown man. He meant it the way he said it. That's Donald Trump. And you see all these people coming out of the woodwork. You don't know who they are defending Trump, but they look like they're politicians or lawyers or, you know, they're billionaires and millionaires coming out of, and they're trying to defend Trump because Trump is giving them tax cuts, you know, stepping on the poor, kicking the poor, you know. So they like that. So they support Trump because he's doing awful things to the poor. But you got to remember, majority of the people who voted for Trump, they're broke. They don't have any money. They are benefiting from Obamacare. But you got some of them crazy people saying, yeah, I'm benefiting from Obamacare, but I still want to see it cut. I still want to see it repealed. I said, but you will not have any health care. I love Donald Trump. What can you say? What can you do? Only thing you can do is try to get through this. But we do have a midterm election coming up in November 2018. Folks, get out there and vote. I have a feeling that you are. I mean, if you didn't vote last time, if you haven't voted in a few years and you're registered, you're still registered, or you're not registered, get registered and get out here, because we have to take this country back. The House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, they're not doing it because they're in bed with Trump. And they are green light until the stuff really hits the fan. You know, I mean, we really have to do something, folks. We got to get out here and take this country back. If it is in one piece by November 2018, which I do hope so.
Help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Anyone you ever saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl.
George Wilder doing the show. We have a few more seconds left into the show. I want to say it's been great, folks. It's getting kind of cloudy now, and I hope it's great where you are. And I want to thank my guest, the magic of Michael Grandinetti, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I I hope you get all that information. And all right, I want to thank everybody for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.